It's 2:52 here on The Ticket. The roundtables continue for Ticket Stock 2015 at the Irving Convention Center. A great crowd. Thank you all for being out here today.
Look at this crowd.
Fantastic crowd.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
And thank you to our big Ticket Stock sponsors, the Texas Motor Speedway and Bud Light. And it is now time to visit with our Ticket Stock headliner.
Thank
300
you.
Career wins, 4,800 plus career strikeouts, 5 Cy Youngs, a 10-time All-Star, a world champion, and now a Baseball Hall of Famer, ladies and gentlemen, the great Randy Johnson.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, wow. What a crowd.
Is this your first time to Ticket Stock?
It is. It is.
Why don't we start with the newest...
The newest news.
Oh, there you are.
Yes, I'm here. Right. Thank you. It gets confusing with all these different voices.
Oh.
Let's start with the latest. Baseball Hall of Famer, and I'm wondering what you were thinking in the couple of days that led up to the voting, and then what was your first thought once you heard that you were in and that you would go in this summer, and there you'll be alongside Babe Ruth and Sandy Koufax and all the greats.
I heard Babe Ruth's going to be there, so I'm looking forward to meeting him. I've heard a lot about him.
Well, that's news.
He's passed on.
Well, I've stayed pretty busy the last 5 years since I've retired, so... I've always said to anybody and everybody that ever brought up the Hall of Fame, I'll cross that bridge if I have to cross it and I get there. And I honestly never thought about it, honestly, until probably about a month or so leading up to it when they notified me that I'd be officially on the ballot. And then it was becoming, okay, the time is here now. Mm-hmm. The 5 years, I stayed pretty busy doing a lot of traveling and things with my family and more important things at this point in my life. And now 5 years went by pretty quickly. I'm getting a call the day that I got elected. And, I was buzzing for about 10 days. It's something that you don't play to get elected to the Hall of Fame. It kind of just happens based on your career and your success. But what an honor. Yeah.
Did you have to decide on a cap?
Well, it's not all up to you anymore either. There's a lot of integrity that goes into that with the Hall of Fame. And as a lot of your baseball fans here know, I played 22 years. I played for 6 different teams. 2 teams I played for made up a body of those 22 years. 10 years, I believe it was, in Seattle and about 8 years in Arizona with the Diamondbacks. I was elected... to the Hall of Fame based on the 22 years of success that embodied by 6 teams that I played for. And then I was asked to look at my body of work with each team and represent a team. And I thought, and I had to think with my head as much as my heart, I love Seattle and I played there 10 years, and that's how I know Texas, the Rangers, so well, because that's who I came in as with the Mariner. I had to think with my head as much as my heart. So I based on the success that I had for a shorter period of time, I had more success, the 4 Cy Youngs, the MVP in the World Series. So I chose Arizona because I have to represent someone based on the most success that I had.
Right.
Randy was pitching while I was doing a lot of Major League Baseball. We were just reliving the fact that we crossed paths several times during that.
Bring this back to me.
No. I want to take you back. We'll go to major accomplishments, but I want to take you back to a game that I broadcast. Would you tell us about pitching against the Rangers the night when you threw extraordinarily hard and with a great deal of energy, and either a tooth or a filling flew out of your mouth during one pitch?
I was at the old ballpark.
Yep.
Yeah, the old ballpark, and I had a bunch of gum in my mouth, and I was chewing away, and the next thing I know, my filling came out of my tooth, and all of a sudden I'm going, wow, I got a shot of air in there, and it hit the nerve or whatever, and it's just like, so we're all kind of searching through the gum and on the ground where my tooth was. I didn't know if I lost my tooth or what, and so. I have a lot of memories in Arlington, playing with the Rangers at the old ballpark, at the new ballpark. I was fortunate enough to make an All-Star game that was held at the new ballpark. So a lot of memories And I've always enjoyed coming back to Texas.
We didn't enjoy it.
You know, well, I enjoyed pitching against the Rangers. And then for 2 months out of my career, after being traded from Seattle, I went over to Houston and played. And that was the best 2 months of my career after leaving Houston. And so that was a real enjoyable moment, pitching in the Houston Astrodome.
What were your interactions like with Nolan Ryan back then? Did he influence your career at all?
Well, Nolan became a mentor of mine. It was about 92. I was still struggling with my mechanics, and Tom House was the pitching coach. And I went to USC, and also Tom House went there before me. And I was struggling with my mechanics. Could throw as hard as anybody in the game. Just didn't know where it was going on any given day. And I think by the good graces of God, Tom House asked me if I wanted to watch Nolan throw a bullpen session in the Kingdome when they had come in with the Rangers, and I was with the Mariners then. So I had watched him throw a bullpen session, and we kind of talked about some mechanical things, and it was more about footwork. And so I kind of got some ideas from them. I kind of worked on them for the remainder of the year, that 92 season, and then took what I incorporated in conversation with them and a little bit more excitement about going into another year. And it all really kind of panned out for me in the 93 season. That was the first big year that I had had. I think I won 18 or 19 games in Seattle. And I think it was that same year, 93, that I actually faced Nolan, the only time I had faced him, pitching in a game at the old ballpark. And it was also, ironically enough, the one game that I threw the most pitches I had ever thrown in my career. I'd struck out 18 in 8 innings, and I think I threw about 165 pitches. And I just remember as a young pitcher that Nolan was riding his stationary bike in the dugout watching me pitch. He was out after 6, and I was still pitching. And I also remember the fans here in Arlington had had 18 strikeouts after 8. But I also had about 165, 170 pitches. But the fans, the home fans here, were chanting for me to come back out. So that's my my memories of my passion of playing and knowing Nolan Ryan.
How'd you feel after those 165 pitches?
Well, I was young then. You know, throw that many pitches now might not be as easy, but you know, I've been very fortunate over the middle towards the end of my career to have met some of the greatest pitchers that have ever played the game and some of the greatest hitters, you know, that were living in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I got to meet Ted Williams. I've gotten to meet Warren Spahn. I've met Sandy Koufax, Seaver, Carlton, Nolan Ryan, Ferguson Jenkins, all the greats that most of the people in here would recognize their name.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as I was playing my career and putting some numbers up, I had a whole nother appreciation for what the people were doing before me, because I knew how hard it was now. As I was going up the strikeout and getting close, well, no one's ever going to get too close to Nolan, but as I finished second all time to him, there was people that I was passing, and I, you know, strikeouts don't mean you're going to win a ball game.
Right.
I struck out 20 in one game in 9 innings, and I got no decision. I struck out 19 and got a loss. 2 weeks later, I struck out 19 and got a win. I struck out 18 against the Rangers, and I got no decision. So it doesn't mean you're going to win. It doesn't mean you're going to win the game. It's kind of a cool thing, I guess, if you're a fan, and as a pitcher, you become labeled as a power pitcher, a strikeout pitcher, and that's what I was. But I was used to throwing lots of pitches, and I think I'd like to think of myself and a lot of the people that I played with, I think were kind of the old school mentality that, you know, you could throw a lot. Now, I never pitched in a 4-man rotation, but I never shied away from throwing 135, 140 pitches either.
Yeah.
I mean, it was my day to pitch. I enjoyed going out there and pitching for my team and the fans and doing the best I could.
Let me ask you, what drew you to baseball as a kid?
Well, I mean, I wasn't tall then. But as I got older, I started growing, and then I was interested in playing basketball, just like anybody else. I played football, Pop Warner. Mm-hmm. But baseball, I just, you know, as any little kid would do, go and try out, play Little League Baseball, and started playing baseball when I was 7 years old and didn't retire until I was 46. So, you know, it's a lot of baseball in my life. I've been very blessed and fortunate, and I look back now, and I can talk about things more openly now, whereas when I was playing, I just was taught just to stay focused, and I wasn't too worried about my accomplishments or any things that I was doing, because I just thought that if you start talking about those, you start getting distracted.
Right.
So just, you know, just felt very blessed, and, you know, I had my share of injuries as well, 4 knee surgeries, 3 back surgeries, but the one thing that I never was able to hurt was my arm, and so I feel very fortunate about that.
Randy was not an overnight success.
No.
There were a lot of years that the big question in baseball was, is he ever going to figure it out? Is he ever going to figure out command? In fact, Randy Johnson's a 300-game winner, and at age 30, he had only 64 wins. As you progressed into your late 20s, did you even start to wonder, is this ever going to happen for me?
Well, I mean, who in their right mind thinks about winning 300 games or, you know, striking out 300 batters in a season or winning a Cy Young? Or the only thing that I ever really wanted to do was just play baseball. And granted, I didn't have a lot of wins at an age where most people have already got 5-6 years under their belt and maybe have 60, you know, 80 to 100 wins at that age. It did take me a long time to find my mechanics and find the confidence and the consistency of being a pitcher. And there's no doubt anybody that does anything in life, if it doesn't come easy, you got to work hard at it and you got to be patient and you got to stick with it. And it was something that I enjoyed. But there was moments where it was extremely difficult, and there was times where, you know, is this really for me? I mean, it's because there was a lot of moments where, you know, it was a lot of struggling going on. But when I finally did figure it out, you know, I was giddy inside when I was facing hitters, because I knew now I had as good of a chance, if not better, than I did years in the past, because now I could control where the pitches were, and I felt like I had a variety of pitches to throw then, and I just wasn't out there as a young, you know, kid just trying to rear back and throw the ball.
Would you say Tom House was the main guy in helping you figure
it
out?
Well, I wouldn't say. I would say it was 22 years. I played 22 years, and I've had several baseball pitching coaches. Everybody has been influential in my career. I mean, the biggest impact in my career is my father. You know, and that far supersedes anything any Nolan or anybody ever said.
Right.
You know, I had the desire to be successful because of my dad. You know, and I've had a lot of pitching coaches help me, and it's a mosh pit of people that have helped me. So it's not one person by any means, no.
Yeah, Mike.
We understand that you have a post-baseball passion, and that's photography. How did you get into that, and what do you like taking pictures of?
Well, I studied photojournalism, if you can believe it, back in college. I went to University of Southern California, and I had studied photojournalism, and it took a back seat because of the baseball. But when I retired, I started getting my camera back out. I started doing some traveling with the family. I know a lot of friends that are musicians, so I would travel with them and take pictures. And then I also enjoy motorsports, and that can be Supercross, NHRA drag racing, NASCAR. Over the last 5-6 years, I've met a lot of and become friends with a lot of racers, and so it's always nice to be welcomed in their garage and just kind of stay out of everybody's way and just take pictures. I have a website, rj51photos.com, and that, you know, in my travels, what I try to do is take out some of my favorite photos and put them on my website, and just that's my one opportunity to be able to show people, you know, where I've been and what I'm doing. And so, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing that as much as I do baseball because it's the one thing I'm doing now, so I want to do it as good as I can.
Who's your most famous musician friend?
I know Geddy Lee from Rush. I know James Hatfield from Metallica.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
You ever tell Geddy Lee to take it down an octave? Just going to sing a little lower?
No, because...
You need to confront him, Randy.
He never told me to be a finesse pitcher either, so... But I will say he's a big baseball collector.
He is.
He's got a vast baseball collection that I've never quite seen before.
Uh-huh.
But good friends. And, over a long career, you have a great opportunity to meet people like that, and you find out that, I wanted to be, a drummer in a rock band. And a lot of musician friends want to be a football player or a baseball player. And so you're kind of swapping stories and you feel welcome there. And it's just... no different than, Tony Schumacher is a good friend of mine, 10-time champion for Top Fuel.
Mm-hmm.
He talks baseball. I try to figure out how that engine goes 300 miles an hour, So it's just a great trade-off.
You press the pedal on the right.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
A great trade-off,
Do you have a drum set?
I do.
What are you playing with? You playing an electronic kit or do you have
No, I have a Pearl acoustic kit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how would you rate yourself as a drummer?
On a scale of 1 to 10, probably about a 0.
Oh, no.
Randy. Yeah.
I figured you'd have such reach, though, you could have like a 30-piece kit.
I'm a cross between Animal from the Muppets and probably, Keith Moon.
Right.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I wanted to be a drummer and a pitcher, and I wound up here.
Yeah.
So...
Well, one of us had to be.
Yeah.
How fast can you still throw it? You ever go to the fair and
Well, I don't know.
Win a hat?
You got a baseball, and I could probably still leave a bruise on your ribs.
Yeah.
A threat from the big unit.
I liked. I always enjoyed.
You ever had a Rawlings tattoo?
I always enjoyed the Randy Johnson flu. Lefties would get when the Mariners rolled in.
When people came down with a tight hamstring.
Right.
It was important for me to, and I knew what was going on, and I thought that was a great compliment, but I didn't take anything away from what they were doing because someone else was taking their position on that given day that I was pitching. But when I did face a left-handed hitter, and there was hitters that had a lot of success against me, left-handed hitters. But when I did face a left-handed hitter, I felt like that was supposed to be my bread and butter. That was to my advantage facing a left-handed hitter. It wasn't always, I played in an era when I came up with Montreal and then I got over to Seattle. I faced some of the greatest hitters in my era. A lot of Hall of Fame hitters, George Brett, Wade Boggs, people that should be in there, Don Mattingly, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, Joe Carter. The list goes on, but over 22 years and the first 10 years of my career from 98, or Dave Winfield, Kirby Puckett, these are great hitters. And got to see a lot of great pitchers, too, as well.
Remind me, why did Montreal, was it a trade?
It was a trade. I got called up in 88 from AAA and made 4 starts there. My first against the Pittsburgh Pirates in Montreal and went 3-0 in those 4 starts. Opened some eyes, and I was excited. I had had some success. Organization was excited that things finally were panning out for me. Got invited to big league camp in 89 in West Palm Beach, Florida. Made the team, broke with the team. For whatever reason, things didn't go as well. Got sent back down to AAA. Made a few starts there, and then I was part of a 3-man trade. Brian Holman, Gene Harris, and myself got traded to Seattle for Mark Langston, another successful left-handed pitcher, and at that time, probably the best left-hander in baseball at that time. And he went to Montreal, we went to Seattle, and that was really my apprenticeship to learn how to pitch. Had every fifth day I had an opportunity to sink or swim. That organization really wasn't even finishing 500 then for a few years until after I got there. So I really got to learn how to pitch there. And so then things started to pan out. You know, being teammates with Omar Vizquel, Edgar Martinez, King Griffey Jr., Jay Buhner, you know, we never quite put it together as much as we probably should have, but we didn't have the type of pitching that you need either. Yeah, we had offense. We had some of the best hitters in baseball with Junior and Edgar and the best shortstop I've ever played with that I've ever seen during my 26-year career was Omar Vizquel when he was in Seattle. The best pure hitter I ever saw hit was Edgar Martinez.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Griffey. Interesting.
Well, the best all-around hitter, you know, Junior could hit home runs. Yeah. Edgar, if the game was on the line and I needed a base hit, I would take Edgar Martinez over Junior. And that's no disrespect to King Griffey Jr. He'll be elected a first ballot Hall of Fame next year, Junior.
Yeah.
But Edgar Martinez, when you needed a base hit, just a base hit, not a home run. There's no predicting a home run anyways, but if you needed a base hit, I would take my chances with Edgar Martinez. I had that kind of confidence in Edgar. Not that I don't in Junior,
right?
But I just think as a hitter, I would rather face Junior than Edgar. And I faced both of them. I hit Junior, and Edgar got a base hit off me.
When you were pitching, you were right in the era now that is so suspect. Did you have any suspicions that PEDs were becoming a part of the baseball fabric?
Well, I can't sit up here and say no, but I played on teams where, you know, I wasn't playing with the people that were in the news every day either, you know, that were making the headlines now. So if I look back, well, maybe it was, but I wasn't. I mean, I was so locked into what I had to do, I wasn't even watching what other people were doing to work out. You know, I would come to the ballpark. Interact with my teammates on days that I wasn't pitching, put my game face on the day that I was pitching. The people that I interacted with most was my trainer and the strength coach and my pitching coach, because those are the three most important people that kept my career going. The trainer to work on my body, the strength coach to make sure I'm getting all my weight training in, and my pitching coach to help me with any needs that I have on the field or off the field.
All right, we're getting the high sign because it's time for Randy to start signing autographs here at Ticket Stock. It's such a pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for
the time.
And congratulations. Enjoy July in Cooperstown.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
That's the great Randy Johnson, our headliner here at Ticket Stock 2015. The roundtables continue next.